Hello and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
Well, the title of my message, if you're taking notes, is this: Take the Limits Off. Take the limits off. And I have to say, even before I get into it, that this afternoon I watched the best football team on the planet. I watched it with Dave. I was educating him in football. But my team is Watford FC. Any Watford supporters here? Oh, come on. I know one. I will pray for every single one of you later. But we played Crystal Palace this afternoon. Are there any Crystal Palace fans here? No, that is a real shame because we won 2-1. So you know, it's already pushed me to a new level. So I'm talking about taking the limits off, but I feel it's going to go beyond the limits today. So let's go. If you're taking notes, take the limits off. January 2006, I had just arrived in Sydney, Australia, to attend Hillsong Bible College. And as passionate as I am for the church and I'm wanting to learn more about God and His Word, I also have always had a hobby that I really enjoyed and I still do to this day, and it's keeping fit and lifting weights. I just really love it. However, when I got to Bible College, I was on a budget, and as much as I wanted to go to a local gym and work out, the reality was I couldn't afford it. And so on the Saturday night, I thought, well, I'll pray about it. And so I asked God. Now, it is a trivial prayer. In the grand scheme of life, it is a small prayer. But on that Saturday night, my first weekend in Sydney, I asked God, God, would you bless me some way with a set of weights or something like that? Or more finance to get me into the gym. Anyway, I forgot about the prayer and I woke up the next morning and packed my bag, and it was Sunday. And I was walking to church, and it was a 1 mile walk from my house. I was going along, taking in the new environment, when all of a sudden, a man, a large, muscular man, drove up alongside me in a white pickup truck. He wound down his window and he said, "Are you going to church?" I looked at him. Okay. And he said, "Would you like a lift?" Now, my parents have always taught me to never get a ride with a stranger. And I wasn't as big as what I am now back then, but I noticed he had a Hillsong Kids t-shirt on and a Bible on his dashboard. So I made my mind up that I'd be okay. And so I jumped in the car with this man, and his name was Dave. No, it wasn't Dave Scholes, all right? I know you would think, but his name was Dave. And he drove me down to church, and we were just having a general conversation. Nothing too detailed, just general what I was doing. I'd just arrived from England and that sort of thing. Anyway, as we got into the car park, he said, "Luke, I don't know why I'm saying this. I've never done this before. But I feel like God is telling me to bless you with some weights." This is what he said. I said, "Really? Really?" And my mouth just dropped because I hadn't told him about, you know, my prayer or my interests or anything like that. And so he said, "Yeah, look, leave it with me and I'll come." And I gave him my number and my address. 2 weeks later, this man, Dave, pulled up on my driveway with his truck. And he brought me a brand new weights bench with weights and dumbbells and bars and all sorts of things. And he was so excited to give them to me. He said, "Luke, the day I made that decision, that Sunday, the next day I went into work and they gave me a pay rise. And so with the pay rise, I brought you a set of weights." Now I'm going to come back to this story a little bit later, but how amazing is that? Turn with me, if you could, to Matthew 8, verse 5, and they're going to put it up on the big Bible behind me. And so let me read this to you, because this is my assignment for tonight. It says this: "When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found faith in Israel with anyone with such great faith. And the story goes on and finishes in verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed that very hour. What an incredible story. Do you know, we live in a world that is dominated by limits. When you leave your house in the morning and get into your car, your journey will be governed by a speed limit. When you park your car in the car park, there will be a limit on how long you can leave your car there. When you walk into the shops, there will be a limit on how much you want to spend and on how much you actually can spend. There'll be limits in your job, limits on how much holiday you can take a year. And when you get to the airport, there'll be a limit on how much weight you can put in your suitcase. There are limits to how many coffees you can have a day. Limits, perhaps, how many dinners out you can have a week. For some of the men in here, your wives may put a limit on how much time you can have on your PlayStation or Xbox. Limits. Life is full of limits. Limits can be defined as the furthest boundary. The furthest boundary. Now, often limits are there to protect you, but limits can also restrict you too, especially when we allow the physical limits to move over into our spiritual limits. When the boundaries that we have acclimatized to in our day-to-day living slowly sink into the way we think. When the daily routine becomes so comfortable that the radical faith we once had takes a back seat. When the demands, the mundane demands of life, just stop giving God any space for him to move in your life. And we wonder why we find ourselves stuck. But as the disciples learned following Jesus each day, that if you stay close to him, he will force you to take the limits off your thinking, the limits off your actions, and the limits off your faith. I think about a time in the Bible when Jesus and his disciples were out on stormy waters. And the Bible says that Jesus was walking towards them, towards the boat on the water. He was walking on the water, and only one man, Peter, was brave enough in that moment to remove the limitations in his mind. The limitations that told him he was absolutely crazy to dangle his leg over the side of that boat and walk on water. But he did it. He did it. And he experienced something that everyone else on that boat could only watch. No one else got to do it. Why? Because that man was willing. He was brave enough to take the limits off. You see, if you allow your past experience, your experiences to limit today's expectation, then they will stop you going on the adventure that God has mapped out for your life. Now, perhaps God hasn't answered a prayer in the way you thought he would. Maybe he didn't come through on the timescale you had put in place. Maybe you didn't get the job, or the relationship didn't last, or the finances have run a bit dry, and you have subconsciously, without even thinking about it, put a limit on God. You don't even realize that you have done it. There are doubts. There are doubts in you that he will show up and turn your situation around. You are overwhelmed, a bit exhausted, a bit tired. Maybe you're confused with God. And as a result of it, your faith has been reduced. It has been restricted and restrained. You have convinced yourself that God is in a box that he cannot break out of. That where you currently are is where you are going to stay for the rest of your life. But I have to remind you today that God can change things. God can change things, but so can you. So can you. Do you know it is your outlook that determines your outcomes? If you see everything as an obstacle, it will be an obstacle. But if you see the obstacle as an opportunity, then it will be an opportunity. God is not limited. You cannot put a fence around him. You cannot put him in a cage. You cannot tie him up on your lead. No, my God is so high that you cannot get over him. He is so low that you cannot get under him. So wide that you cannot get around him. He is so smart that you may not always understand him. He is so powerful that you cannot contain him. He is so sovereign that you cannot replace him. He is God all by himself. He is a powerful God. He is God Almighty. He loves you and has a great plan for you. He still operates in the signs and wonders business, and God isn't finished with you yet. He's not finished with this part of your story just yet. You may think he has, but God hasn't finished with you yet. I love this passage, this scripture in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It says this, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Did you hear that? No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter where the situation of life has taken you, God has prepared things for you that you haven't seen yet, that you haven't heard yet. God in heaven took time to prepare things for you. Wow. The question is this. Are you ready, though, to take the limits of your faith to experience the promises that God has already prepared for you? Are you really ready to take the limits off? I wonder tonight, is your faith running free or is it bound to the mediocrity that you have settled for? Is your faith vibrant or does it lie idle? Do you really believe? Do you really believe that God has prepared things for you? Do you really believe that God can do the impossible with your life? Someone who did believe that was this centurion. He knew how to get the attention of Jesus and receive his miracle. And so I want to give you three lessons, three keys that we can learn from this centurion that will encourage you tonight to take the limits of your faith. Take the limits of your faith. The first thing is this, is that you must come as you are. Come as you are. Verse 5 in this story says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Now, a centurion was a Roman soldier. He was in charge of around 100 other soldiers. He was a Gentile, considered a foreigner, an outsider to the Jewish people. He was a part of the Roman Empire, which would enforce the taxes and the worship of their gods and their emperors. It was the Romans that would one day beat, whip, and mock and crucify Jesus Christ. They were not the most popular people at that time, and certainly in the area of Capernaum, but this man of authority, he was different to the rest. He had a respect to who Jesus was. And despite what tradition says and what custom had taught him, he approaches Jesus for help. This should encourage all of us right here, you see, for it shows us that despite who we are connected to, what your background is, what people say about you, what your ethnicity is, what your social status is, what your history is, what your doubts are, you can still boldly walk to Jesus and ask him for help. and ask him for help. It is a clear, clear reminder that Jesus Christ belongs to all people. He belongs to all people. I know as Christians, we have a tendency to always want to put on our best. We don't like to admit when we're in trouble or when we have made mistakes or that we're doubting our faith or questioning God in our time of need, as we are often more concerned about what other people may think about us. Oh, what would they think about me? What if they stop liking me or stop inviting me to their social gatherings? What if they unfollow me on social media? We like to hide things and push things down for fear of what other people may think of us or that feeling that we may be rejected. I'm sure we can all admit to having those thoughts, but here is what I love about God, which is clearly demonstrated in this passage, is that you do not have to be like that with him. His love for you is different to man's love. People fall in and out of love like they fall in and out of clothes. One minute you're the best person on the planet. The next minute they don't want to be associated with you. I've known people that love people today who they hate tomorrow. Man's love can be so fickle sometimes, but God's love is different. He knew everything about you before you were formed inside of your mother's womb. He knows your failures, your imperfections, your mistakes, the things you think, the things you did, the things you didn't do. He sees the side of you that no one else sees, but he loves you anyway. Oh, he loves you anyway. He's not expecting you to have everything in order before you are welcomed into his presence. He says, come as you are. Come as you are. Just like the centurion, come as you are. Come as you are. Hebrews 4:16 says that we are to approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me. This is Jesus speaking. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart. Oh, friends, you know you will live a limited life if you stay as you are, but you will live a limitless life if you come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are. Oh, are you coming with me tonight? All right, the rest of you are. I'll see you some other time. But one of the ingredients to living a full, big, faith-filled life for Christ is to come to him as you are, to seek him, no matter how far you've drifted, how ashamed you feel, how guilty you are, whether you've never met Jesus before or you've known him for a lifetime, you must find the way, a way to the feet of Jesus. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone, you should underline that, everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened unto you. There is no such thing as seeking without finding when it comes to God. You know, when I play hide and seek with Lila, my 18-month-old girl, I sometimes like to change the rules a little bit. I know I'm bad. I know I'm bad. I'm cruel. You can tell me off later. But if I find a good spot to hide and I hear her coming, but I don't want the game to finish just yet, I might sometimes move location before she gets to me, find somewhere else. And you know, I may hear her coming again and might just have to find again just another place to hide, just so the game can last a little bit longer. But here is what I love about God. You see, God, he doesn't change the rules. God doesn't switch up the location. God doesn't change the protocol. He doesn't say, oh, you weren't good enough today to get my attention. Oh, you haven't spoken to me for the last 6 months, so why should I answer your prayers now? He doesn't say, I saw what you were up to last night. So come back and ask me next week for your request. No, he says, ask me. He says, seek me and you will find me. Knock and the door will be opened up to you. Oh, you may have to seek him a bit longer than you had wanted to. The answer may not come straight away. He may even remain silent until you do what he last told you to do. But he's listening. He's listening. He's listening. He hears your every single prayer. That is why your prayer life is so vital. It is the greatest weapon you have. Do you know, prayer is what gets you prepared to do God's will. It is the key to unlocking all the things he has already prepared for you in advance. It has the power to see you healed from the sick, to be made whole from your brokenness, to be released from any shackles that have kept you bound. Do not underestimate the power of prayer. Make time each day to seek his heart. He's not too hard to find. In fact, he's waiting on you to show up. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting. The centurion caught the attention of God. The centurion saw this miracle come to pass. The centurion took the limitations off of his faith because he came into the presence of God as he was. Come as you are. Is this helping you tonight? The second key that's going to help you take the limits off your faith, number two, is this, is that you need to have a heart for others. Have a heart for others. Despite the fact that this man was a Gentile, a Roman soldier, a man of authority. He was also a compassionate master, a considerate citizen, and a lover of God. I find it quite striking that not only did this man go out of his way to encounter Jesus, but he did so on behalf of his servant, the man that was instructed to serve him. He went out of his way to serve his servant. Now, you could expect a servant to chase Jesus all around town on behalf of his master. But for the master to get a sweat on as he goes looking for Jesus, well, that's just not common practice. You would not expect that. Could you imagine, come with me for a moment, could you imagine that you are at home, you are off work sick, and you've got some friends from another country arriving to see you at Manchester Airport. You can't go because you're not very well, but your boss, your CEO, your chief constable, your clinical lead, your employer, your senior pastor, I can say it, he's not here tonight. He says, listen, I'm busy, but I know you're sick. I'll go. I'll drive to the airport and I'll pick them up. Now, not only does he or she pick them up, but he decides he wants to give them a good time. So he stops in at Pinocchio's in Preston. I hear that's where you all go around here. And he says, you can have anything you want on the menu. Have a great feast. While they're eating, your boss, he then thinks, my employee's at home sick. I'll go to Boots. I'll get him some Lemsip. He goes in, he gets some Lemsip. Then he gets back and he drives everyone back to yours and he says, here's some Lemsip. He cares for you. Then he says, I'll watch over you for the rest of the night. Now, I know some of you are laughing. In fact, some of you are naughty right now. You're praying that that happens. I can read your mind. But this, in essence, this is what is happening here with the centurion. This is what he has chosen to do. It was not about his position. It was a lesson in placing the needs of others above his own. Surely, when he got to Jesus, he could have changed the agenda and said, Jesus, bless me. Bless what I'm doing. Give me another touch of your anointing. But he didn't. He chose, he purposed in his heart that he was going to be a servant to his servant by going to the ultimate servant who would serve up a miracle to the sick servant lying at home. That's a lot of serving. But you get my point. You see, the centurion lifted the limits off of his faith because he made sure that it wasn't all about him. He took the limits off. Turn to your neighbor and say, take the limits off. Now turn to your least favorite neighbor and say, take the limits off too. Some of you husbands are in trouble tonight. You turn the wrong way first. Take the limits off. Do you know, one of the greatest commandments given by Jesus was to love your neighbor as yourself, to treat others as you want to be treated. And Jesus, he very clearly demonstrates this in John chapter 13. And let me give you the backdrop as to what is happening in this text here. Jesus knew that right here in this moment, his time on earth was drawing to a close, and that very soon, one of his own disciples who was sitting around that table was about to betray him. His beating and crucifixion was only hours away. And so Jesus, one more time, wanted to demonstrate to them the full extent of his love and how you should love other people. So the Bible says that as they ate together, Jesus got up from the table. He taked off his outer garment and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And then he got down on the ground. He poured some water into a basin and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. And the disciples were confused as to what must be happening here. What is Jesus doing? I mean, think about it. If you only had a few hours to live, what would you want to do? Today, we call it a bucket list. When we know that if we've got a certain amount of time, there's things we want to tick off before we pass this side of earth and enter into heaven. We want to do things like go on safari or climb a mountain or do a bungee jump or go and see the Northern Lights. Or my previous next door neighbor, he was 78 years old. He's the world record holder for jumping out of an aeroplane at 30,000 feet. Most of us want to do something that gives us an adrenaline rush, but Jesus, in his final few hours, chooses to get down on the ground and wash his disciples' feet. Oh, I could preach something else on this. He chose to wash dirty feet. Feet that were about to disown him, feet that were to deny him, feet that right from that moment were going to walk into the Pharisees' camp and betray him. Jesus knew what was about to happen, but he still got down and he washed their feet. He washed their feet. They couldn't understand it. In fact, Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." He says this in John 13, 14. "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." A limited life focuses on you, your wants, and your desires. A limitless life puts other people first, demonstrates compassion, lifts the head of the weary, encourages the brokenhearted, does things outside of your comfort zone, like pulling over in a white pickup truck and buying a young man a set of weights. It means sitting up with your friend all night who is broken, even though you have had a full day at work. It means missing your train to help the person you can see crying, their eyes out on the platform. It means standing with your family when everyone else has turned against them. It means loving your children when they continue to do wrong thing after wrong thing. It means doing things out of your comfort zone. It means following Jesus even when it makes no sense. Even when it makes no sense. When your heart lines up with the heart of God, limitless faith is released. When you choose to serve someone, when you choose to pray for someone, when you choose to help someone, you are releasing faith that will not return void. It will not return void. take the limits off your faith. Well, I'm just getting warmed up. The third key, the final key that will help you take the limits off your faith is this, is that you need to believe beyond doubt. Believe beyond doubt. The centurion was a man that understood Jesus' authority. In the same way he commanded soldiers under his charge, he knew without doubt that anything Jesus said would happen. He had no doubt. He knew that his sick servant would be healed. He knew that he was in the presence of somebody extraordinary, a man that possessed the power of heaven on his inside, a miracle-working man. All he had to do was believe in him. Just believe in him, and his servant would be healed. It was as simple as that. It was so simple that Jesus made a big deal of it. The Bible says that he was astonished and said, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. How amazing would it be if your faith could astonish Jesus? Well, guess what? It can. It can. You just have to believe what Jesus says is true. That's all Jesus wants from us. Simple faith. And we can all have it. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to pass a class in theology to have faith. God made faith so simple so that everybody could have it. It is available. It is available to you and to I. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of the things you hope for and certain of the things you do not see. Another translation says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the tangible evidence that you believe it can happen. You may not see it yet. You may not have the proof yet, but you know it's possible. That's faith. And the centurion, he had that figured out. And Jesus said to him, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed that very hour. I want to call the band forward as I bring this to a close. I wonder tonight, what are you believing Jesus for? What prayers do you need to start praying again? What faith do you need to muster? It doesn't even need to be big, your faith, because the Bible says faith as small as a mustard seed can move any mountain. You just need to have some faith. As I bring this to a close, I told you a story at the start of my message about a small faith-filled prayer I prayed one Saturday night in Sydney, Australia, about some weights. And how this man, Dave, stopped in his car, picked me up, and blessed me with what I'd asked God for. Now, as much as God was showing me that he cares about the small things in your life, those desires that no one else knows or sees, that wasn't the lesson here. This wasn't what he was teaching me. He was teaching me something far greater at 21 years old. It wasn't a lesson in gym equipment. It wasn't a lesson in material possessions. It was a lesson of faith. For if I could trust God with the small things, then how much more would I believe him for the big things? If God could answer me on something so minuscule, then how much more would I hold on to him for something far more significant?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter @Valley_Church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday? To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.